planting seeds, I think.
Okay, your seed. Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Abundant Solutions Hour. Our goal is to help others be more, do more, have more. I'm your host, Gregory Turner.
And I'm your co-host, Brian J. Henderson.
And we have another co-host.
My name is Kim Levesque.
Kim, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Glad to be here.
Good, good. You know what? We have a fantastic show. And Brian, we're on tonight with two beautiful women.
Say it again.
Brian just sent me something saying we are in trouble.
We are definitely in trouble tonight.
But you know what? Tonight's show is all about people.
The tangerine dream.
Yes. The dream. But we also
tangerine dream.
Yeah, we also want to talk about how Tangerine woke up, though. A lot of people are dreaming and not doing anything with it. But
all right.
Yeah, this sister is
bringing it
up
to fruition. Do
That's right. She's doing her thing. And, Brian, let's go ahead and bring her in because I know this is going to be a hot show. I'm getting emails already, people telling us to shut up. They want you, Tangerine, to come in. They want to hear from
that's
her.
That's right.
So.
Just give us a juicy scoop on Tangerine.
Well, hi, everybody. Thanks for listening. This is Tangerine Martin. Actress, model, sketch comic host, producer, boxer, and ordained reverend.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, thank I do a little so bit of everything.
Yes. Brian, I know you had something for Tangerine. I know you were going to talk about her.
You know, it's funny because she's already introduced herself, and that's something that I normally pride myself in doing. But
I was waiting on it, but they kept
anyway.
Saying, they kept saying, come on in, Tangerine.
All right, well, I'm going to introduce everybody to Miss Tangerine Martin. This Inglewood, Cali native is an all-around performing artist. Her film credits include Miss March in theaters March of 09, Love for Sale on BET in May of 09, Johnson Family Vacation, National Lampoon's Cattle Call, Only in America, and soon-to-be-released films Hurricane in the Rose Garden and Russ Parr's Something Like a Business. If I continue on, we'll take all night to introduce all of her television. And
tomorrow and next week.
Let's just say that this sister stays busy. We welcome you to the Abundant Solutions Hour.
Thank you so much. That was a lovely introduction. I'm so glad I waited for that. Thank you.
Now, Kim is going first. She's got the question and she's got the floor. Go ahead, Kim.
Well, I guess there's so much here to cover, because Tangerine, oh, my goodness, she's really into everything. I mean, you really are a Jill of all trades. I mean, my goodness, I was so impressed by your website.
Thank you.
It is totally awesome. I really like the setup. It's easy to understand. It's inventive. It's so creative. And I see you had a hand in putting that website together. And can you tell us your website so everybody can know where to go?
Oh, definitely. My website is tangerine.com, and tangerine is not spelled like the fruit. It's spelled T-A-N-J-A-R-E-E-N, tangerine.com.
Wonderful. Well, you know, I really, and then also if you want to find all of her other web locations, you can look under the T-spots on her on her website.
Look at you knowing. Yes, the T-spots is where you can find my Facebook, my Twitter, my live video page, my YouTube page, and I guess if I ever catch up and do Going and all these other ones, LinkedIn and everything that I keep getting invited to, they'll all be under T-spots one day as well.
All right. Well, Tangerine, just tell us, where are you from? I was reading your website, and I know where you're from. Could you tell the world just a little bit about where you're from and how you got into acting? Because everybody's always interested to know how you make something like that just happen. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. Well, I'm from Inglewood.
I'm from
where the Lakers used to play at the Forum when they used to play down there. So, you know,
okay.
I'm happy about this championship.
Okay. Yeah.
But, I'm from Inglewood, so there's not a lot of Cali natives actually in the industry. I think because once they realize that it's difficult, they go on and get a regular day job and move back in with mom or do something else.
Ice Cube is making it happen over there too, right?
Yes, he is. I mean, I could definitely name some, but most people, they come from Chicago and New York and the Midwest to, you know, follow this dream. But yes, you're right. Mac-10, Ice Cube, Snoop Dogg. We definitely have some West Coast rappers in the game. And
yeah.
I got started by going to college and majoring in radio, television, and film production and doing an internship at Paramount Pictures. And that got me to meet a lot of people, a lot of producers that could, you know, give me some more advice and help me out. And, you know, that nepotism, you know, that
pays
off. Yeah,
it kind of catapulted you into that mainstream of opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's good. But I see, though, that you had the talent, you know, to make it stick and to build an awesome career. I mean, my goodness. Guys, do you have anything? Where do we want to go next with Tangerine? It's so much. I mean, she's in so many films and so many movies. I mean, you're even hosting, like, a basketball tournament. I was like, my goodness, she's just all over the globe.
I love sports. I really do. And so I have a good time trash talking on the microphone at sporting events. And the guys, you know, they want to impress me and they want to impress the ladies in the audience. So, you know, they know if they mess up, I'm going to talk about them on that mic. So this summer I'll be hosting the Venice Basketball League at Venice Beach. So if you've ever been to Cali, listeners, you know, Venice Beach is definitely a nice tourist spot to hang out at, with Muscle Beach right next door and hot chicks on in bikinis on skates. And I'm on skates in a little skirt hosting the basketball games on Sundays.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of fun. That's one thing that I noticed, a common theme with you. A lot of people worry about the ultimate goal of reaching whatever it is their dream is, but to me it looks like you just enjoyed the ride the whole way. I said, look at it, your birthday party. Oh, my goodness. I was like, I wish I could just put myself in the party. It looked like so much fun.
Oh, yeah. I threw a Lakers birthday jam for my birthday last month, and they won for me that day. And after they won, we, you know, opened the dance floor and had a really good time. I had a great, you know, I had some celebs in the house and a lot of friends and family, and we just pretended there was no cameras on us, and we just got buck wild, so it was a good time. You can come next year, Kim.
Oh, so sweet. Thank you, girl. Now, when I'm trying to be all up in your crib, don't be saying nothing now.
It's all good. I always have people over. They show up. They don't even tell me they're coming.
Okay.
They show up, and I cook. We watch the games. We do whatever. I love entertaining people.
Wow.
I really
do. Well, I wanted to ask you, what is one of your favorite places that your acting career has taken you? Because you've been so many places. What is the most, I don't want to say the most meaningful, because there's something to be learned or to be, garnered from every situation, from everything that we encounter and come upon in life. You know, it's something good that we take away from everything. But for you, what do you think was, like, a major turning point for you, or the point where you felt that you were about, because it looks like you're skyrocketing, you know what I'm saying? You're about to go through the roof, and it's really wonderful to see, because you're very talented. I watched you. You're a strong actor, and, you know, I mean, it's so many things. I want to know where you train. I want you to just tell us, I mean, everything. We want to know.
Oh, wow. Well,
she is not going to leave us a question to ask.
That is funny. Greg, Brian, y'all still out there?
I'm so sorry. Okay, Kim is going to let Greg and Brian take over now.
You know what? I'm loving it.
Always learned, and I learned this a long time ago, but I was always told that you never interrupt two ladies while they're talking.
Are you married?
I was
kind of like a wise
very
man.
Patient.
Kim, actually sitting back, and I'm actually enjoying you guys' conversation. I really am. It's good.
Okay, well we're entertaining. That's good.
Well, no, I actually do have a question.
I got
an
answer.
I guess it is along the lines of what Kim asked earlier, because she said she wanted to know everything. So I'm going to ask you, what motivated you to get into the entertainment industry?
My very first play that I did when I was in the first grade, at La Tierra Elementary School. I was in Hansel and Gretel, and I was a gingerbread man, and I only had one line. But when I said my line, I couldn't wait to my part. And when I walked up to the front and said my line, and the audience started clapping and laughing, I felt so powerful because everybody was paying attention to me. And I thought, wow, I like being in control of people's emotions like this. I like to be able to make people laugh. I want to do this again. And so that started it, and I started doing little after-school plays at my elementary school and ended up doing things with Monica Calhoun. We were in a Inglewood Playhouse together, and Rick Famuyiwa, the director, he went to school with us, and F. Gary Gray was in the same Inglewood Playhouse, and, you know, so we all got the itch early and just were doing a lot of plays with adults. All of our plays were mixed adults and children, so we learned a lot quickly, and that was my initial motivation. And then from there, I knew everybody would tell me I had to go to college if I wanted to make it in anything. They wanted me to have a backup, so I went ahead and went to college, but I majored in entertainment industry as well because I didn't want to major in something just because. All my friends were majoring in engineering because it sounded good, and they changed their major, you know, a year or two in, never finished school and probably working, you know, in a completely different field. So I majored in entertainment, and that's what started it, the internship and the Paramount Pictures, and here I am.
You know, Tangerine, this is Greg. I want to ask you this. Behind every great actor and every great actress that's making it, like yourself and like him that's coming up right behind you, there's always this dark moment of triumph that was a block, kind of say. It was a block or something that you had to overcome, that you had to struggle through. I'm not asking you what it was, but I'm asking you what brought you through that.
You know what? I don't mind telling what it was. There's probably more than one, but the first thing that comes to mind when you ask that question is when I was in college, I was dating a guy for probably about 5 years, madly in love, was supposed to marry him. And, you know, it didn't sit right with my spirit, our relationship. He wasn't very faithful. So when I tried to break up with him, about a week later, he tried to kill me. He broke into my home and beat me over the head with a bat or some type of blunt object. I'm not sure if it was a bat or a pipe because my eyes were closed. I was trying to sleep. And he didn't succeed. He left a gallon of bleach and a duffel bag in the bedroom with me before he had to run out because some help was coming to save me. And it's a really long story. I've written a script about it. I've done speeches on it in college about it. But basically, because I didn't die from that experience, I knew that God had me here for something bigger and that I was here to just touch lives and make people happy and just, you know, help people forget about their troubles. And I live my life hoping that whoever I touch and whoever I see, if just passing by them, if I give them a smile or give them a compliment, that it makes them feel better about themselves having met me. And it all came from that struggle that I had in college with that man who did not want to break up with me, put me in the hospital with 22 stitches across my head, came out with a wheelchair and a gel cast and a sling on my arm. And I thought, wow, how can I ever be a model when half of my head is caved in? But it formed back. And I was still getting jobs and based on my looks, and I was like, wow, you know, God is blessing me even more now that I've been through this. So I knew I was doing the right thing.
Wow, my goodness. You know, to go through that, and for a lot of women that's listening right now, domestic violence is something that's very, very serious. For you to go through that and to be transparent to talk about it, you know, we thank you for being open enough to talk about that because so many women, they're going through that right now.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here and as you're telling me this, I can actually see this man doing this to you.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, his plan and his goal, it goes back to the topic of tonight, your seeds. You know, it just seems like he was trying to kill those seeds that you're planting.
Mm.
And it's like he just left you for dead, and
mm-hmm.
you came back stronger.
I did.
And it seems like God just blessed you so much more after you went through that.
Definitely. That was a big test for me. I should have stopped dating him long ago, and I kept taking him back, and I kept forgiving him. And you know how they say, what do I have to do, you know, throw a brick over your head? And that's what God was saying. He's like, this is not the man for you. What does he have to do, beat you in the head with a bat? And I was like, okay, God, I get it. I'm breaking up for real this time. I'm going to leave him alone. I'm not going to break up and still mess around and still sneak around. You know, I'm going to let him alone and get on with my career, my life, and my family.
Well, you know,
a lot of people don't have the strength to move forward because, you know, as women, you know, we're always taught that no matter what happens, no matter what we accomplish, we're not successful until we have the husband, the wonderful husband, the you know, the family. The real success is supposed to be about, you know, achieving all of that. And all of that is really up to God. And a lot of people are lacking in faith, especially when many years pass by, because, you know, God's time is not our time, you know. And a lot of times people begin to lose faith or they settle for something that they know is not the fullness of what God has.
Right. Right.
So, you know, you giving that testimony will give people strength, you know, to do what they need to do, because that's so important, because all of this is great. You know, what we accomplish is wonderful, but really it's about how we affect and touch other people's lives.
Right.
You know, so I commend you for that.
Thank you.
And then the strength that it takes to move forward, because you really feel like you have nothing.
Yeah,
you know,
and it's difficult.
So much time, yeah.
I was with him so long that I was scared to break up at first, because I knew that he knew where I lived, he knew where I worked, he knew where my parents lived. He was so into my life, he knew where my classes were. So there was that fear. A lot of people say, well, you stay in a relationship that's not good because you have low self-esteem. But I don't feel like it was low self-esteem so much as it was the fear of the man who loved me so much that he tattooed both of my names on his arm, my name on both of his arms, and told me that I love you so much, we'll never break up. You are meant to be with me, and the only way we'll break up is if one of us dies. And he didn't say it in a scary way. He just meant it. One of us will have to die for us to break up. So I knew I was risking something by breaking up with him, and he could find me if he wasn't happy with that decision. And so it took a lot of strength for me to go ahead and do that, and I'd like to encourage other women, even if you have to move in with a relative in another state, you know, it's better for you to be safe, especially if you have children with somebody. You have to be safe. It's just difficult.
Well, Tendry, let me
ask
you this real
quick. Yeah, it's so interesting. Oh, go ahead.
Let me ask you this real quick. You have so many women out there that feel like they can't live without the man. You understand what I'm saying? We hear that. Brian and I, we hear that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're in a we know the relationship is not good. It's a terrible relationship. But for some reason, they've gotten comfortable in the beating. They've gotten comfortable in being mistreated. And I guess for a man, we can't really understand that. So, I mean.
Well, that's there's two reasons for that. One reason is women are taught to find somebody to take care of them and protect them. So if they have a guy that's doing one of those, you know, spending time with them or spending money on them or just, you know, giving a place to stay, it's hard to leave. But the hardest reason that it's to leave is the reason that it's so hard to leave is because women secrete oxytocin, which is the hormone from the penile gland, that third eye, that makes you want to nurture and cuddle and be around. And when you start falling in love and sleeping with somebody, that oxytocin secretes like crazy. And the only way to get it to stop secreting for that person is to not see them, to not be around them, and to not sleep with them. So women do feel like they can't live without somebody because they really do think they can't until they stop secreting that doggone oxytocin and take a break and then realize and wake up and smell the coffee.
Wow. Kim, I'm sorry I cut you off. So you're up. Sounds like Kim.
Kim, you still there?
I'm sorry. Yeah, can you hear me?
We can barely
sound
hear
far
you.
Away. You sound like
okay,
you're
hold on, hold on.
There you are.
I'm gonna walk around.
That's better.
Is this better, guys?
Much better.
Oh, okay. What I was saying is, you know, that's those spiritual ties, and you really have to pray to break those. And a lot of people don't have a prayer life. They may not even have a relationship with God, you know. I mean, even if you don't acknowledge God, there is God. But, you know, that's a whole other subject that we don't want to get into.
Right. Right, and, you know,
second.
It's never too late to start praying. So, you know, even if they haven't been and don't know how, they can start any day.
That's right, you know, because I will wake up and I pray and I try to read the word every day, and sometimes I fall off, but, you know.
You're human.
thank you for grace.
I wanted to comment on that, too. You know, you talked about the oxytocin secretions and all that stuff. This is something that I talk about all the time.
Yeah?
With because Greg and I do abstinence education with youth, and we talk to the youth all the time about this, and we tell them, look, this thing is spiritual. physical, emotional, chemical. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you have all these factors that are, it's financial,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I said, when you get into a relationship, you know, I said, when you get into these relationships like this and you start jumping the gun, you know, it's almost like I tell them, I said, look, if they don't have the key, they don't start the engine.
Mm.
You know, if they're not buying the car, don't give them the key.
Okay. That's
you know,
that's
and important. So, for so, and this is not just for you. You know, I tell this is for everybody.
Yeah, and it's a trip when I tell people when I'm, because sometimes I'm celibate. It's funny, one of my nicknames is the celibate nympho. But sometimes I go into spurts of celibacy where I'll go 6 months or 3 years, and my friends are like, you know, you're crazy, but it helps you think clearer and make better decisions when dating, and also saves your energy for getting business taken care of, and you know, it just makes me that much more powerful. But it's, you know, it's not easy.
Yeah, and then God can work, too, when you're walking in obedience. He can do even more awesome things. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, something. I mean, he already has a plan for us, you know, but when we're walking in obedience and trying to live right and do right, then, you know, that gives him, you know, an open door, really, to just bless us beyond belief. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
It's just, it's whew, God is awesome.
He is that.
Yes,
Tandrine, I wanted to ask you, mm-hmm. I know a lot of stars, they give back to children and they give back to the communities.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything set up to where you're helping girls or women?
It's all mine. I don't do nothing for no. I'm just playing. I do a lot.
That's
all
on your website.
I actually, my most recent endeavor is an organization called Knockouts for Girls.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what happened, I started boxing a couple years ago because of a TV show that wanted models to box each other for money. And I thought, oh, cool.
Wow.
But from that show, Perfect 10, the magazine was the producer of that show, Perfect 10 Model Boxing. Some of the other boxers started an organization called the Knockouts. And from Knockouts, they started Knockouts for Girls Charity. And what we do is we put on boxing events to raise money for girls to go to college. We also teach self-defense classes to battered women. We also have a foundation called Make a Little Girl Smile, where if you write us a letter and tell us you need braces or an eye exam and glasses, or you just need a trip to the zoo because, you know, your parents can't afford to do anything with you. You know, we choose from the letters and we do give back to the community every month. We, you know, whether it's a book drive or the MS walk or, you know, we do so much. And knockoutsforgirls.org is the website. And I'm on the board of directors as the director of communications. And it's just been a really rewarding experience to do that. I also, you know, do help in the kitchen at the L.A. Mission downtown. And I help with the Urban Compass. I donate to a bunch of different places, just whoever, you know, gets to me first, I guess. I'm really big on animal rights, so I don't eat meat or wear animal clothing. And so I give to PETA and help with their events as well. So, yeah, I try to help as many places as I can.
Awesome. That's so awesome.
You know, I was reading some of your talking points, and it says your name means bringer of energy, health, joy, and light.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, how often do you resemble your name?
You know, if I go a day without making someone smile, or if I pass someone in the street that I make eye contact with and I don't speak, I get sad. I try to do it every single day. I try to bring energy, health, joy, or light to every single day wherever I go. I don't want to Bible beat people, but I try to live a holistic, healthy lifestyle. And instead of me telling you don't eat this, don't eat that, I usually draw you to me by asking, hey, how come you don't have that on your plate? Or, hey, how do you have that six-pack on your stomach? Or what do you do? And then I can give you that information and give you my number and call and ask me more questions. I will sit on the phone with you while you walk through the grocery store and tell you which butters to buy, which milks to buy, or, you know, what soy sauces to try, just to help you to have a better diet, to get to the ideal weight that you're looking for. I try every single day to help people feel better about themselves. So as often as possible, I think it's important. Cause, you know, I always said I want a really big funeral. because that's how you know the type of impact you've made on the world, if your funeral is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I definitely agree in that one. You know, the other question I had was, now you talked about not eating meat, and you might laugh when I say this, but did you have a problem with Barack Obama swatting a fly last week?
I actually am not familiar with him swatting a fly, but I know that I do let the spiders go by in my house. If I mean, not that I've got some old dirty, creepy house. I don't want you to think I live in a haunted house. But if I do catch a spider.
Well, I mean, everybody has,
yeah. Yeah, but if I do see a spider in my house, I bless him and say hi, knowing that he's as afraid of me as people think I should be of him, and he'll eventually find his way on out. Or maybe I'll open the door and help him out. But I don't kill bugs and stuff that come in my house.
Well, girl, I don't know about spiders now. They go by, but spiders, they got to go.
They don't want no trouble.
Girl, no. This little girl at my daughter's school was bit by a spider, and she was dead in 2 days.
Well, okay, there are some poisonous bugs, and we don't know which is which, but they're poisonous for their own protection, and I don't surround myself with that kind of energy where a poisonous bug is going to bite me and kill me, so I'm not worried about that.
And I just found my spider.
Yeah, I feel you, though.
But yes, you're right, positive energy and light, just like your name.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to ask you, too, about Curb Your Enthusiasm. That show is so funny. How was your experience working on that show? There's a lot of great actors on there. And...
Yes, Curb Your Enthusiasm, if you're not familiar, listeners, is an HBO show created by Larry David, who created the show Seinfeld, which we know was a huge hit. And his character is based, his real-life character is based on the George Costanza character on Seinfeld, where he's just always making the wrong decision, and he doesn't understand why it's wrong. So Curb Your Enthusiasm has that premise, and it's not scripted. Larry David writes the whole summary for the episode, and he doesn't share it with anybody except the people that are creating the sets and the wardrobe and hair people. And so the actors show up and get dressed, and then he just yells action when you get to your scene and tells you, you know, this is the beginning and the middle and the end of the scene. Now you work it out. And so it's so much, it's such a great exercise in acting and improvisational skills. And it was just so much fun because he's such a great writer. And I've never seen an improv show that was actually improv, because even the reality shows, you know, aren't real. But this show was the closest I had been to a real improv show, because he really, I had no idea what I was doing. I'm sitting in makeup like, wow, I can't wait to find out what we're doing today. But it was so much fun. I was working with Vivica Fox and J.B. Smoove. Their guest family on the show called the Blacks, and they're hilarious. And so it was just a really great experience.
Wow. So how long were you working with that project? Are you still, like, you know?
Well, I just did one episode so far. It starts in the second episode of the new season, which starts in September. And hopefully, you know, he's constantly writing. And like I said, I didn't even know what I was doing that episode, so I definitely don't know when I'm coming back. But, my character can definitely recur.
All right.
I hope it does.
Let me ask you this. This is Greg. What was it like working with Cedric the Entertainer in the movie?
I adore Cedric. I worked with him the first time on the Steve Harvey show because I was LaVita's best friend. And my name was Laverne. And he was just a big ball of light when he came into the room and just joking with me. And just you could tell when people are happy and know how blessed they are to be living their dream. And he definitely exemplified that as opposed to some of the other people that I've worked with. And
right.
So when I worked with him the second time on Johnson Family Vacation, I fell in love with him even more because he let me use my real name in the movie. And it was his decision. We were just joking around on a break. And I was like, hey, I want to say more. And I think I should have a name. And he's like, well, what do you want me to call you? And I was like, I don't know, let's think of something funny. He's like, well, let's call you Peaches or something. And I was like, well, shoot, if you're going to call me Peaches, you might as well call me Tangerine. And he just fell out laughing and said, yeah, that's funny. Let's call you Tangerine. I'll call you Reenie. And I said, hey, let's do it. And you know, when you do a movie, you never know if it's going to get edited out, the final project or whatever. So I didn't tell anybody until the movie came out and I saw it. And I said, oh, I'm still in here as Tangerine. Okay. So I love Cedric for that. That was his call, and I really appreciate it.
And what was it like, you know, being around Steve Harvey? I listen to him all the time, and some of the things that he says is just, I mean, it's just amazing as far as his motivational speaking skills and some of the things that he says. Were you? Did you ever get the luxury of sitting around and talking with Steve and Cedric?
I can't say that I've had that luxury. I can say that the person that I thought he was on radio was not the person that he was in person. And so I was a little disappointed that the motivation was not there. the preacher side of him that I fell in love with all the great advice and all the wonderful things he does at the end of each radio show and all that, I didn't get any of that in real life. And I was like, oh, man, that sucks. But he's still, you know, he's still a cool guy.
Yeah.
Great suits, right?
Yeah.
Very.
Oh, he's gonna stay clean, okay?
What did you say, Brian?
To the bottom of his feet. No, I said he's gonna stay clean from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet.
Yes, he will.
I hear that.
Yeah.
Now I've been checking out your website and I've been looking at some of your talking points as well, and I see that you are a member of the Delta Sigma Theta Sorority.
Oh my goodness. Bring that up. Come on now.
Yes,
Kiwi, I'm going to have to. We're going to get him from Phil Custis.
I knew it. I knew it.
Michelle Obama's an AKA.
Rivals.
Wonderful.
Oh, gosh. Are you kidding me?
Oh, man.
That's right. We're yin and yang.
The reason?
Teach each other to coexist, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
so, look, in the words of Rodney King,
yeah.
Can we all
just, get along?
Get along.
All right, we will.
Well,
no, the reason I asked that question is one of our guests in the past have been Shirley Rouse a couple other folks that I knew were Deltas as well. And, you know, I want to say that, you know, have you, well, first of all, let me ask, have you ever met her?
Yeah, I met Shirley Rouse and, you know, Kiki Shepherd is a soror as well. Kim Whitley's a soror as well. Yeah. We're all over the industry, actually.
Okay. And then I was going to ask you, are you involved in any of the ventures that they do? I know here locally they have a lot of stuff going on.
You know what? We actually have the same publicist now, so I will start becoming involved with her stuff.
Because
I was really feeling the Divas Simply Singing, and you know, she's always doing some stuff. So yeah, I haven't been involved yet, but I will be soon.
Yeah, I know she is absolutely huge with HIV AIDS awareness.
Mm-hmm,
and that's one of the other avenues that Greg and I also work in abstinence education. Of course, you have HIV and STD prevention.
Right.
And we speak a lot on that. And so we actually had Cheryl here in Tallahassee for the past 2 years through a nonprofit.
Oh.
And we brought her down to speak and do forums and stuff like that. And it was real fun.
Cool. Well, we'll be doing something together soon, and you know.
I'll say, this is Greg, I'll say that you have probably the sweetest and hardest working public in the industry.
Oh, yeah. Shouts out to Walisa. She
yes.
is no joke. From North
yes.
Carolina, and she has figured out this Hollywood savvy suave, and she's working it. We love her.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's key. You have a good team. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's so important.
It is, because you can do all this stuff by yourself and nobody will know.
That's right. Oh, and you have
true.
A lot of good agents that represent you as well. You have
yes.
some of the top, of course, listed. So that's always the key as well.
Kendra, let me ask you this. You know, everybody, you know, that's listening right now, I think they see all the glitz and glamour of Hollywood and the hard work. That's the part that they don't see. We haven't really touched on that tonight, so I really wanted people to get an idea, not to discourage them at all, but just to let them know some of the things that they're going to face, some of the roadblocks and the trials and tribulations that they have to go through. And you've already gone through that, one, with your ex and the things that he did to you. But there's going to be some doors that's going to close in a lot of the faces of the actors and actresses that are out there. What advice would you give them when they start out?
The first thing is important to study your craft. Take classes and be the best. And that way you'll be ready when opportunity knocks, because you never know when you'll get an audition or when somebody will stop you and you know, you need to do a monologue or whatever. But if you're ready, you know, they say if you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. So study so that you don't make a fool out of yourself or your agent when you do get an opportunity. And then I think it's important to, when you audition, to forget about it after you audition, because what happens, and because I produce as well, I've been on the other side of the table looking at people audition, and you may not know, when you walk in, you may do a great job, but when you leave, you may not realize that the person that they wanted to pair you up with is, you know, 2 feet taller than you, and you can't play opposite that person. So you go home and you kick yourself in the butt because you didn't get the part, not realizing that it had nothing to do with your ability and more about the fact that that guy was just an 8-foot giant and you can't be his wife. Or maybe the producer already promised it to his nephew and they're just doing the auditions because SAG makes them, the Screen Actors Guild Union makes them do the auditions, but they already know who they're going to give the part to. So you have to know there are certain things, like for me at my level, I'm reading right now for a couple of projects that are going to be coming out soon that are kind of big, and they love me, but they're torn between using me or a bigger name. And so there's nothing I can do about that but hope and pray that they'll take a chance on me and I'll become a bigger name after I get the part, you know what I mean? But I'll be up against somebody like a Vivica Fox or a Keisha Knight Pulliam, and, you know, I just have to wait, and I can't, you know, let it depress me if I don't get the part. So you just have to, you audition, you do your very best because you studied, you worked for the role, worked on the role, and then you let it go.
You know, and I think that's so important to tell people, too, because, you know, so many people think that, oh, I'm going to get this role, I'm going to get this role, and then when they don't make it, they have this huge letdown and they just want to give up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there's so many other factors, and I've learned that so many times. It's so many other factors. They've got to pair you up with the other cast members, make sure you guys look good together, make sure you look like you could be friends or family members. They have to finish filling all the offers from their own relatives that they promised they'd hook up, you know, and then it comes down to, it may not necessarily be the person that actually did the best audition, but the person that seems like they'd like to work with every day, the person who seemed the most fun or friendly without trying too hard. I mean, it's a fine line between what goes into choosing it, but, you know, you got to like the people, too. So it's a lot.
And, you know, one of the other things I learned is that maybe they don't like you for that role, but there may be another role that they may have you in mind for they want to use. That
a lot of my roles have come from me auditioning for the casting director and not getting that part, but them calling me in for another part that I didn't, you know, when I least expect it. And I'm glad that I was prepared and did a good job on that first audition so that they would call me back because, you know, you want them to put notes behind your headshot, you know, before you leave that are good notes because they remember the bad actors forever.
Oh my goodness.
So if you give a bad read, you can forget it. But they put the notes so they can help them remember the good ones, and they go back through them and they call you in for other stuff. And so I've gotten a lot of parts that way.
Mm. You have to know your stuff.
Yes.
That's very encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you have anything else that you feel that up and coming actors, you know, need to know, or places they can go for information, or things that they need to do to get themselves, you know, in a good position to kind of take off into their career?
Well, since we're talking about seeds on today's episode, I guess they should just continue to sow seeds. Like I said, take classes. Also do as many independent projects as you can so you can build up your resume and get a demo reel going. Do stuff for, you know, USC's film school or whatever town you're in that has a college with a film school, or, you know, shooting music videos, commercials, whatever you can do. Build up your resume so that you get, one, more experience, and, two, something to put on a reel so they can see what you look like on camera, and so that you can just get familiar with how everything works. And then when you're ready, you can take, you know, get your headshots together to go with that reel, find an agent, exhaust everything you can in your hometown before you move out to the bigger cities like the L.A.'s, New York's, Chicago's, whatever. But I actually have an advice blog on my MySpace page, which you can get to from tangerine.com, for advice for new actors. And it's been helpful for people, and I take more questions on there and answer them if people want to know things like, what if I am getting too old to start acting, or what if I weigh too much to start modeling? I get all kinds of questions. So I answer them there on myspace.com/tangerine. Because I don't think that there's a shortage of money in Hollywood. I think there's enough money for all of us to make some, and I don't have a problem helping you or telling you what you need to do to get it together, because we can all get rich and have a good time.
I hear that.
All right.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I have another question. I've been telling you, I've been looking at your website, and I see here that you are a model.
I am.
And one of my questions, and I've gotten this question from other people who are in the entertainment industry, and I want to see if it sort of fits. But have you ever had instances? Well, let me rephrase it. I know in the modeling industry, a lot of times that models tend to be taken advantage of. And I want to ask you, did you ever get put in that type of situation where you had to, you know, make a decision that could have been life-changing?
You know what? That happens more to me because I act more than I model. I never pursue modeling. I just, if somebody asks me to do a shoot or a show, I'll do it. I just feel weird running around with a book of pictures of myself saying, do you think I'm pretty? Can you hire me? Do you think I'm pretty? Can you hire me? So I've never really pursued it, but I definitely have had situations in my acting career where, you know, sexism is really, really evident in the industry, and I've had people make me offers for bigger parts or for the lead role or, you know, based on our relationship and if I would date them or sleep with them or, you know, it's and part of me, you know, I've always said no, but then part of me looks at certain actresses knowing that they've taken that route and I know their name and they don't know my name and I'm thinking, gosh, perhaps I should have slept with such and such back in 1982, you know, of course I was acting back then, but, you know, it's a tough decision, but I have to have my morals already in place before I get started. Otherwise, you know, they can sway. And if I was riding the fence and wasn't sure and confident about who I was, then I probably would have made some different decisions. And I don't know, maybe it'd be somebody's baby mama right now, still bitter. But yeah, I definitely experienced it, but more so in the acting than the modeling.
Okay, you've been invited to the casting couch numerous times. All right.
Yes, very, very recently as well. Like it's a constant invitation.
It's sad because a lot of times, like you, many things involved in what makes them choose people for certain roles, you know, and people with, you know, no faith, they probably would try that, but it just never
right.
works. You know
but you
mean?
Know, it's like the movie Boomerang when Eddie Murphy slept with Eartha Kitt's character because he was trying to move up in the business and found out that she was just the face of it and wasn't really in charge. But it was too late. She had already She had already got him. That's how it is out here, man. I can relate.
Yeah, because there's a lot of smoke and what you call it?
Mm-hmm. Smoke and mirrors.
Smoke and mirrors. That's mm-hmm. what I'm looking for. A lot of smoke and mirrors.
It is.
Brian, I think we have we've been getting callers all night, but I think we have a caller on the line. If you want us to go to one, we'll definitely do that.
All right, let's go to one of our callers here. We have a caller from the 412. And before I say, I want to say that if you have a question or a comment, you can reach us by calling 718-508-9600. That's 718-508-9600. Let's go to the caller in the 412 area code. 412, you're live.
Hello?
Yes.
Houston? Oh, hi. Is Tangerine? Tangerine, hello?
Yes,
I am. Hi.
Hi, Tangerine. I'm actually calling. This is Details. I know you from MySpace and Twitter. And I met you once in L.A. And, no, I was going to say, you know, you've always been very, what's the word I'm looking for? Positive as far as, like, in terms of career advice and things like that.
Oh, well, thank you.
So I just wanted to take the opportunity to thank you for it.
Oh, that's love. Thank you.
No, because you definitely, when I was in L.A., like, people aren't very friendly
right.
in the industry, and you are one of the few who are definitely very nice and gave me advice and, you know, made me reconsider when I wanted to just kind of give up and all that other stuff.
Oh, that feels so good. I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah,
great.
So...
That's
why I'm going to call and, like, really thank you personally because you definitely helped me a lot in that respect. So,
well, my pleasure. What are you doing now? Are you pursuing?
I'm still doing a lot of stuff. Actually, I just had a shoot today. And,
good.
Getting ready to move back to L.A. and just doing a lot of stuff. And like I said, you know, it's definitely not the easiest business to make friends in. I've learned that the hard way. But yeah. The few people I've networked with and spoken to, I mean, there have been very few who, like, stand out and actually don't look at you as, like, a competition or don't look at, like, oh, I'm above you, I have more experience. Like, you're one of the few who really just kind of, like, gave me that extra push and that little bit of encouragement when I really needed it. And it might seem, like, so minor to anybody, but when you're, like, in a new city and you're kind of on the verge of giving up and you have somebody, like, uplifting you and telling you the things you want to hear and not being rude, like, you know, that definitely meant a lot. So,
you know what, I want really you to do me a favor. If
yes,
I
ma'am.
Ever get out of line, I need you to
No, you never
me.
Have.
But
so.
I'm saying, you know, I will continue to work in this industry and I will get more and more parts. And, you know, I don't want to ever make somebody think opposite of what you just said live on the air. On
I don't
the international
think so, though, just because, I mean, you're so, like I said, like, you've been so nice and just, like
okay.
I said, definitely one of the realest, most sincere people I've met in
hey.
The industry. So.
Well, I'm going to get a recording of this and play it back when
okay.
I'm feeling down. That's what's up.
No, I mean, it meant a lot. And when I was on Twitter and you had that you was on here, I was like, I got to call in and I just wanted to thank you personally. So,
yay!
Thank you so much
for the call. That is what's up. I was
thank you for helping me.
Because
you know what? Since then, that was like 3 years ago, but since then I've accomplished so much and I'm still in process of it. And, I mean, you know, you definitely have a small part in that for
well, just
basically
thank me in your award
stopping
speech.
Me.
That's all I'm saying. When you get an award for something, you better thank Tangerine Martin.
Oh, no, I definitely... No, I'm definitely a big support. I've always have been, but even more since you've, you know, spoken to me and been so kind. And I even watched Days of Our Lives, which I don't even like, for your role when you were on it.
Thank you. I did play a lawyer on Days of Our
yes.
Lives. It's a big deal for a sister to get a lawyer role, finally, because I've played enough hookers and crackheads.
You did a great job. And
thank you.
I didn't know the storyline of what was going on, but for them couple of days, I definitely watched it. So.
Thank you, honey. I didn't watch the show before I got on there either, so I understand. So thank you.
But
well,
you're definitely amazing.
Call her now that she's done this for you. Your job is to do it to someone else that's coming behind you.
Pay it
that's,
forward.
You know what? Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, I do that. I try to do a lot of work with other people and, like, just with charities and stuff like that in general and just helping people. I definitely am a big believer in giving back. So
good.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So I appreciate it so much.
Yay.
Well, thank you so much for calling in.
Yes.
No problem. Thank you. Thank you for everything. I will. I'm going to tweet you.
I'm
we've
so
been
addicted
last
to these
night.
Social sites. Oh, my goodness. It's crazy.
Oh, you are. I am too, girl.
Thanks for your call, sweetie.
Thank you.
That's so cool.
You know, Tangerine, to get to hear something like that, to know that you've been invited and welcomed into someone else's life and you've made a difference, that has to be probably the best feeling in the world.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Somebody actually found me on Facebook a couple months ago and told me that they were so glad to find me on Facebook because they were sitting down, hunched over on the curb back at Cal State University Northridge when I was in school, and they were crying. And the email was telling me how I helped them and got them in the car and brought them back to their dorm and made sure they were okay and was checking on them. And you know, I don't remember doing that. Actually, honestly, I remember doing that more than once in college, unfortunately. So I don't remember which person that was because, you know, when you go to college, it's a huge transition and a lot of things go on with, you know, leaving your family and maybe finding or getting or losing a new boyfriend or whatever, messing up in school. So I don't remember which person that was. But it just was so sweet for them to find me and have remembered me after all these years and to tell me, you know, that I really touched them and because of them, you know, they finished the semester and all this other stuff. But I was just like, wow, you know, you never know who you're touching and how it's going to affect them, but it's important to try to make sure that it's a positive experience for them. And that's what I try to do.
Awesome. That's just so awesome. Kim, are you still there? You've been quiet on us.
Uh-oh.
Kim?
That's why she's been quiet. We've lost
nothing.
Her.
You know what? I heard from the caller that when he was talking about out in Hollywood in the industry, he was saying that the people aren't really nice. Does he mean that the competition, is that the reason why they're not nice, is because you're faced with so much competition out there?
Yeah, I think people, Americans, and maybe especially blacks, we sometimes tend to come from a place of lack, where we don't think there's going to be enough. And so if you call me and ask me for my agent's information, or, you know, to tell you of a good acting class, and I'm in a good acting class, I may not want to give you that information, because I feel like, well, if you're in the same class I'm in, you'll get all the tips I'm getting, and then when we go up for a part, you could get it. You know what I mean? It's such a ridiculous way to think, because what's mine is mine, and what's yours is yours. And there's so many other factors that go into it that you can't determine it. All you can do is, you know, try to use your blessings and pass them forward. So, yeah, there's a lot of people that feel like they got to hold on to this information, or they feel like I had to struggle and I don't want to help them out because they need to struggle too, and they need to go through it and pay their dues. And I don't feel like me giving you this advice is going to stop you from having to pay some dues. You're probably still going to have some struggles, but I can give you some advice to prevent some of them, but I definitely can't prevent all of them. So you're still going to have some challenges, but I don't, you know, if I can help you have less, then why not?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's so nice, because it you're right. You can't remove all of the trials and tribulations. We're all going to have those things, especially when we're going after our dreams and we're fighting for our goals. Those things are just going to happen, and that's something that you just have to deal with on your own.
Right.
Yeah, and you know, people can say, well, this is what's going to happen. And no. They can prepare you and let you know that it's coming, but it's based on how you're going to deal with it. It's going to be the big thing. That's going to be the big thing. Are you
right.
going to quit when it happens, or because the door was closed? Are you going to just pay so much attention to the one that's closed and not see the other two that God has already opened?
Exactly.
Yes. I think that's the killer when it comes to our youth, when they're wanting to do the things that you're doing. They hear one no, and they just give up.
They pack up and move back home.
Yeah, and not realizing that the next part that they go to may be theirs. That may be their breakthrough. They just don't know.
I always say that the only people that don't make it in this industry are the ones that stop. The only thing that's stopping me is me when I stop. That's my motto. Because, I mean, you never know. You might have quit. You might have been trying for 20 years, and the next day might have been your big break, but you quit. You
that's
never
right.
know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right there at it. And that's something that Brian and I, we try to, you know, we tell the kids all the time, and not just the kids, we tell the adults as well, you should never stop dreaming. There's so many people that give up on their dreams, and when they do that, it just seems like their life just goes downhill very, very fast.
Yeah, because if you're not happy about what you're doing every day, it's going to reflect in everything else in your mm-hmm. life experiences.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what, you've definitely blessed us tonight, and
all right,
I
Greg, we have another caller on the line.
Go ahead.
Let's go to this caller right quick. Caller, you on live?
Caller.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
Great. You have a question or a comment?
Yes, I just wanted to add on to what you guys were talking about, like as far as dreaming and aspiration. Sometimes I heard this song by Kanye West. There's also, you have to have positive people around you. You
mm-hmm.
understand? So it's not always good to tell everybody everything you do, depending on the type of people you're around. And also, just keep dreaming and believing, and no matter what anybody say, I think that's the best way to go.
That's good advice. I used to be told that as well. Don't tell everybody your dreams, because they might hate on them and hurt your little feelings. But it's also true, if you keep positive people around you that actually want the best for you, you won't have to worry about stuff like that.
Oh, yes, definitely.
You know what, caller and Tangerine, what about those negative family members that you just can't get away from, the ones that the dream killers that tell you, Tangerine, you're just wasting your time. You can't do this.
I don't surround myself with those type of people.
What's your name, caller?
Oh, my name is Mecca.
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 Beautiful name. Yeah, I actually, it's funny. My mom told me when I was younger, when I was doing the plays in the park, she asked me, you sure you don't want to be a dentist? You're not really a good actor.
Hmm.
And I thought, wow, because I had already decided at age 6 that I was going to act. And I said, my own mother is telling me I'm not good at this. I don't want to be no dentist. They got the highest suicide rate. Nobody wants to go to the dentist. And so I just kept taking my classes. And she doesn't even remember saying that to me to this day. She's like, I never said that. Are you sure? But if I wanted to, I could have let that affect me and change my entire life and go into a completely different field of work. But now my mom's my biggest fan. She goes around bootlegging my movies and giving them away as Christmas gifts. And she's a piece of work. But she don't remember telling me I couldn't act back in the day. So, you know.
Sometimes people don't have the same vision. They get it once they see the layout.
Right.
But you understand, everything starts from a vision so that sometimes people don't see everything until they see the finishing product. So
that's
maybe
true.
That's how she was.
And maybe I wasn't a good actor. Maybe I was 8 years old and didn't know what I was doing, but I kept trying and I kept learning, and, you know, I got better. So instead of telling somebody, you suck at this, go this way, how about helping them get better at that thing that they love, that thing that they want to do, and give them a shot at that first.
You know, when you said that about your mom telling you that, the movie in The Pursuit of Happiness flashed into my head. Because there was a part when Will Smith was talking to his son, and he made a statement when they were in the gutter and when they were just, everything was just down. And they were on the basketball court, and he told the kid that he couldn't do something. And he immediately corrected himself and said, don't ever let anybody tell you can't do or be something.
Yeah, that movie was a beautiful movie.
Yeah,
good
and the places, yeah, the places that Brian and I go, the jails and the detention centers, so many people have spoken death into them, a school teacher, and believe it or not, it happens in the churches. It happens.
Oh, that's the worst place sometimes.
Really?
But that's when things come against you. You know, we battle not with flesh and blood, but what?
You got to go to a better one.
Is that Kim?
No, that's Mecca.
Oh, Mecca, okay. Yeah, it's true.
If it's not uplifting you, like mine,
yeah, that's right.
I don't think you should go.
Okay.
And you know what? It reminds me of something, one of Will Smith's quotes, and I may not get it correctly, but he says something to the effect of, look at the 5 people that you spend the most time with, and that'll give you an idea of how far your life and your career will go.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's very true.
So if you're around some people that's always getting, you know, popped by the police and always got a story about a problem they're going through and how their life is so miserable, and, you know, you'll be the 6th one.
You know, it's so funny. I just told my nephew that the other day. I said, look at the 5 people you hang around the most and look at what they're doing, and it'll tell the story of your life and where it's heading.
Mm-hmm. It's real talk.
That's real talk. We have about 2 minutes left. Tangerine, I want you to give out as much information as you can in the next minute or so.
Okay, sure. I'll repeat my website because that is how you keep up with what's blooming on my tangerine tree. And the tangerine is not spelled like the fruit. It's TANJAREEN, tangerine.com. I have a movie called Love for Sale that I associate produce starring Jackie Long, Jason Weaver, Melissa Ford, Essence Atkins, Clifton Powell, Big Daddy Kane, Shawty, and Lamont King. It's been airing on BET since last month. It will continue to air, so look for it. I'm also starring in it with Maya as her aunt. Love for Sale on BET all summer long. I have a movie called Miss March. It came out in theaters in March, and it's going to be on DVD on July 28th. It is a hilarious sex comedy about a trip to the Playboy Mansion with Hugh Hefner and Craig Robinson and a couple of guys from a sketch show called The Whitest Kids You Know. Miss March on DVD, July 28th. Love for Sale on BET all summer long. I'm on Curb Your Enthusiasm in September on HBO. Tangerine.com is how you can keep up with everything else in my life. Thank you so much for having me on the show, everybody.
Well, we thank you so much. And I want to close by saying, the seed that you plant, make sure they're on. Make sure that you have them in the right soil to start with. Make sure that you cultivate them. Make sure that when they grow and they bloom and that they produce fruit, that you pass those fruits out to others so they may also be able to plant more seeds. With that being said, you've been listening to the Abundant Solutions Hour. We thank you so much for joining us tonight. We ask you to please go on MySpace, Facebook, Twitter, check us out, Also, go on blogtalkradio.com/ASEmotivation. Listen to the archives. Email them to your friends. We thank you. Good evening. God bless you all. And good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Yay. Good night.